We don't know who we can be honest with about that imposter syndrome or those other feelings as we're trying to show up that we can do it all at work and we're worthy and we can handle the weight of more responsibility while we're also trying to balance our homes. Welcome to the Overwhelmed to Resilient podcast with Dr. Phyllis Hayes Reams, the one-stop podcast for Christian women who want to unplug from feeling overwhelmed and plug into their inner superpower of resilience so that they can live a life of peace and joy and in God's purpose. Hi, this is Dr. Phyllis, and welcome to another episode of Overwhelmed to Resilient. I want to talk today about a topic that is very close to my heart. When overwhelmed women lead, toxic leadership causes toxic workplaces. Yes, I said it. I have carried this topic for a long time in my heart, just praying on how to communicate it. And what we're talking about is when overwhelm hurt women lead. Because often what happens is when overwhelmed leaders lead, they hurt others. I know this to be true because I have been a woman working who has worked under other women who, in retrospect, I can see were just overwhelmed and hurt. And they were transferring that, even without realizing it, through their leadership. And I've also been, I'm going to admit it, because I had some unresolved hurts and disappointments. I had carried that once before into my own leadership. So I know how that can be. So let me just kind of embellish that and share a little bit more about that. When women who have been hurt, be it personally or be it at their jobs, when that hurt and that overwhelm, that imposter syndrome is not dealt with, it carries out in the workplace. I can remember being just so, I was hurt. I won't try to sugarcoat it. I had been told that I was going to get a certain position. Was nervous about it, but yet honored to be asked to get the promotion. And the weirdest thing was I had done my prep to make sure that I was ready to take on that position and actually found out that the person who had told me that I was going to get the position had gone behind me and basically at least gave the impression that there was no one ready to take on that promotion. And I didn't find out about it directly. I found out about it indirectly. And it was only until I started doing some probing that that person said, oh, I forgot to tell you that the decision basically was that I wasn't going to be promoted at that time. And honestly, it wasn't not getting the promotion at that time that was hurtful, was that this was a woman who I'm gonna be honest, I just had her on a pedestal. I wanted to be like her. I just admired her so much and felt just so deeply honored that she would even think that it was possible for me to follow her in this role. And I was hurt And in retrospect, I can see because it's just I wasn't wired to confront it head on. I just kept it inside. And what happens when you keep things inside and you don't discuss it with the person that you had the issue with? I'm going to tell you, it's really, you're lying to yourself, because that old saying of just suck it up and keep going, it's a lie. It doesn't work, because at some point in time, it's going to come out. And I held on to that for years. And it showed up. I'm sure it gave off vibes. I kept going and going, but I'm gonna be honest, I was stewing. So when the opportunity came up to take on that promotion again, to be up for that promotion, I went for it, which I'm proud that I went for it. And there's nothing wrong with me going for it. But I know in retrospect, having those unresolved issues, it came out later on. And unfortunately, that person, they were also somewhat upset because I went for the promotion aside from them. And I don't blame that person because they were dealing with a lot themselves. I can say that years later. And I realize because how imposter syndrome, how that person, that woman was dealing with imposter syndrome and overwhelmment and questions about her future, what was going to happen. And when we as women don't confront issues and have those deep, transparent discussions with each other, you go away feeling and thinking a certain way, right? They go away feeling potentially threatened or intimidated or betrayed. So you can see how you have both sides, right? Dealing with unresolved issues, then get played out in the workplace. And everyone's not privy to what's going on. And because the two people haven't talked, it just keeps perpetuating and perpetuating. And it becomes a cycle. So, back to that situation is I tried to, without confronting that person, I tried to then support them through their transition. And let me step back a minute. As I said, I don't blame that person. Still love her. Meant so much to my professional development. It's unfortunate that we weren't able to deal with it at that time. But I can say now that we are slowly but surely, we are reconnecting and it's all good. I also have to pray for the woman who was above my then boss because she was overwhelmed and hurting too. I can see that over the years. Because again, as we as women are trying to get to these promotions, often we've had to deal with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, be it from other women or men trying to get to that position. We have to fight, right? We have to try to break that ceiling, that glass ceiling. And there's a lot of distrust that develops because we don't know who to trust. We don't know who we can be honest with about that imposter syndrome or those other feelings as we're trying to show up that we can do it all at work and we're worthy and we can handle the weight of more responsibility while we're also trying to balance our homes. You know, I said, I don't know that I really believe in balance. We're trying to juggle the expectations and you know, making sure to get done and pick up kids or take care of parents or take care of other responsibilities, but still show up like we got it going on. So it can create a mess. And then as a leader who gets promoted into that position, and I had those unresolved issues and concern while the person was still working in the department, and now I'm her supervisor, I don't blame her. As I said, I unfortunately did not have the tools to communicate that. I believed in just sucking it up and keeping going. But someone has to break the cycle, right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But that just continued. And so we have all of this overwhelmed and hurt, right? Just bumping into each other. And then you have people who don't know all the story. They don't really know the behind the scenes story. And you have other women who see what's going on and they begin to pick sides. And so then when they get the opportunity, then they feel like they're trying to advocate and defend for, you know, this woman who played a role. They have another group who's trying to, you know, defend for this. You know how we do as women. Come on now, sis. Come on, sisters. You know how we do. We pick sides. But unfortunately, again, this is how things get perpetuated. And this is how toxic workplaces happen. And if we as women don't, number one, look within ourselves to call the hurt out. And unless we get to a place where we can then call it out, number two, communicate and confront our feelings. So call it out within ourselves, how we're feeling. Number two, take the risk to say, okay, this is how I'm feeling. I need to confront how I'm feeling. And three, communicate with that person. Now, is it always going to work out that communicating that is, you know, you hope and pray that that person is going to be receptive. But you know what? It's really not about them. It's about letting yourself free and said, okay, I'm going to stop holding on to these feelings. Because sis, I'm going to tell you, if we as leaders don't call out when we have been in toxic work environments or situations, call it out, confront it, and communicate it, we think that we're like helping ourselves or we're showing that we're resilient, but that's a false type of resilience. That's just talking about transferring it. Okay, that's just transferring, harboring, suppressing toxicity. But we have to call it out within ourselves. We have to confront it and communicate it. And even if the person we communicate it to is not receptive, at least we can release it. And then we have to pray on it and give it to them. But then there's also situations when we communicate it, that other person is released. And you can deal with it, deal with the situation, and move forward. Either you can move forward together or you can move forward separately. Because when we as Christian women dig deep and realize that at the end of the day, it's really not about us, it's about God, and that God has all the power in his hands. And what's for us, he's going to make it happen. Nobody can take it away from us. And sometimes, and I'm going to say maybe even not just sometimes, but often, we as Christian women, we have to be the one to take the higher ground, because other people, other women, they don't have that insight. And often we have to be the one who breaks the cycle, as I said. We have to change the place that we come into. We have to have the courage to change the space. We have to bring the light. And that's why you're going to continually hear me say, we have to stop looking to other people and other situations to bring transformation. And when I say that, is, you know me, I coach my clients because I know the power that my transformation has had in my life, because I have been willing to do the hard work. And I want to collapse the time between your sense of overwhelmment, you being in your toxic situation. I want to collapse that time and put you on the speedway, put you in the express lane so that you can get your transformation and tap into your resilience so that you can change not only your life, but you can change every environment that you walk into. And you can change your daughter's lives, your son's lives, whoever you're mentoring, whoever that you're impacting for the better. And it was only after I called out how I was hurt, because as I said, when I became that promoted leader, I did some good stuff. I can embrace it now because you know I'm my worst critic, and that's why I'm always talking to you all that we have to start being our own best cheerleader. Is that I realize no matter what, I still carried some of those hurt feelings. So I was thinking that those people that were supporting that other woman, that oh, they're against me. Oh, da, 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 da. They have these narratives. No, I have to change the narratives. I have to change the narratives. I have to be the change. So I did some great, phenomenal things that I can embrace. And I also know that I, in some ways, did not allow in that position everyone to see my light. There were many people who I was able to share my light with. And there were others, because I just did not have the ability to communicate and get past, really, not even the communication, get past my past feelings of hurt and overwhelmment at that time to fully call things out and be more intentional versus reactive. Because when we react to the past toxicity, we're not able to, because not everyone's going to know the backstage story. They're not going to know what's been going on. And it's not necessarily for them to know. We have to find our support circle where we can, if it's journaling, if it's having our trusted circle where we can really let that stuff out so that we can continue to work to move forward. And I'm going to tell you, going through that has allowed me to be a better leader where I'm at now in my new role of leadership. My new role of leadership at work, my new role of leadership in my community, my new role of leadership in my home, and the new role of leadership with my transformational life coaching business. We have to call it out. If you are in leadership right now, you need to look within. If you're feeling like everybody's against you, and often as a Christian woman in leadership, you remember scripture says, and Jesus said, people are going to, you know, we're fighting, you know, people are going to be fighting. They don't even realize it against the Jesus in us. Paul reminds us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual principalities. So we're going to have opposition. And so there's going to be some real situations that we are dropped in that, yeah, it really is them. But often it's us. We got to start with us, sis. We got to do the heavy work. But I'm going to tell you, once we do the heavy work by finding the right people that can help us dive deep into getting our faith stronger, finding out how to do our, as I say, our spirit reset, our spiritual reset, our faith reset, tap into our physical wellness reset, and work on getting our minds, our mental reset. And then, as I said, get that community, that tight community of people who are not going to allow or going to give us permission to stay where we are, but that will call us, that will push us to be at a higher level. When we get people, coaches, mentors, advisors to help us, sis, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful place to be. It's a place of joy and peace, contentment in all seasons. It's a good thing. And I will say that, as you hear me say all the time, is that we have to get past a them situation and be, what is it that I need to do within myself so that I can change the situation for me to show my light? And a lot of it is just being content and living and doing the best you can and letting them stay over there. But you be the best you. You be the joyous you. Because there's going to be people who are going to want to like be fire hydrants, right? They're going to want to pour water on you. But you let the haters stay over there. You do the work that's needed so that you are not carrying hurt and overwhelm from other women. Because we're going to pray for them and hopefully they'll listen. If you know someone, you share this episode with them. Because if each of us women will look within ourselves and do the work that it takes so that we can bring our best selves and stop feeling intimidated and threatened by other women. And when we embrace that, when God has a blessing for us, I can't take that blessing from you. You can't take that blessing from me. So we don't have to waste a lot of time trying to like dog each other, pull each other down, or bully together. Like we get another woman who's, you know, we get with them to bully, right? We get with another woman to bully somebody else. We figure like, okay, you know how we do. I don't have to go into it. You know how we do. We start getting these little cliques. Even as adults at work, we get these cliques. And without knowing, we become kind of bullies, like the bully girls, right? Remember how we used to do in elementary and, you know, middle school and high school? And yes, I remember when we called it junior high school. And we would like gang up on, you know, either we were being bullied or we were the bullies, right? It's time out for that. Life is too precious. Life is too short. God is looking at all of us. So sis, we got to do the work. You got to do the work. Don't just stop. Don't allow the toxicity to get in you. And you stop being the person who's the toxic. You know, you're the reason that the workplace is toxic. You may not even realize, you say you hear toxic, like, how's that? It's toxic. When overwhelmed, hurt women do not resolve their issues, when you do not resolve your issues, you're lying to yourself that somehow you just put this mask on and you come to work and you're able to just fake everything, fake everybody, suppress it. It's going to come out. It's going to come out on your, and how you think. It's going to come out on how you perceive things. It's going to come out on how you treat people. So we have to stop carrying our hurt and our overwhelm into our leadership positions and stop hurting other women. And hurt women, we've got to stop taking that hurt and suppressing it and carrying it home, or carrying it into, I was going to say something else, but carrying it into fussing, fussing about the women in leadership and fussing about and other things. We need to break the cycle. And if each of us would try to bring the best of who we are in God through Jesus Christ, do the hard work, and know that God will award the increase. He is all powerful. And what's for us, no one can take away from us. And as you will hear me say all the time, work is not the end. It's a means. It's a way to try to do some good work, impact people. It's our work ministry. And then we need to go home. It shouldn't be our whole life. Go home, do some good things, love, laugh, live, keep it moving. So today, I want you to make a commitment to break the cycle. Look within. Look within. Call it out, confront it, and communicate it. And if you need encouragement, if you need coaching, I would love to work with you. I am all about taking what I've learned through experience and sharing it with other Christian women so that you can change the way you look at your work, how you navigate your life, so that no matter what season you find yourself in, you're able to tap into that inner light of resilience and have a life of purpose, joy, and peace. So until next time, I'll see you on Overwhelmed to Resilient. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks so much for joining me today for today's episode of Overwhelmed to Resilient, where we unplug from feelings of overwhelm and plug into our inner resilience so that we can live lives of joy and in God's purpose through mind, body, and faith reset. If today's episode resonated with you, please subscribe. And if you know someone who would also find value, please share it with them. I look forward to being with you every week. Take care, and I'll see you next time for Overwhelmed to Resilient.